is the day which the Lord has made. We will.
Boy, I looked at you guys, but I heard it from over here and out here. All right. Good deal. Last week we did that a couple times. I know we had some things going on in El Paso, and then I got done with service. Someone said, do you know there was another shooting? I said, no, I haven't watched the news since yesterday. So there's other things going on in our country, other things going on in our city, other things going on in our own church. How many people know that there's just things going on? And I don't mean that there's violence like that in our church, but there's things going on in our own church, our own families. We need God. We need God, and we need to turn to God and quit relying on our own self and relying on our own strengths to get us where we need to go. Last week we were in Isaiah. This week we're going to be in Isaiah. So turn, if you would, to the book of Isaiah. Victoria down there. Victoria, wave your hand. She asked for a Bible after church last week, and we gave her one. And she's so glad to have that Bible, so we presented her with a Bible last week. And Victoria, I love when our young people are saying, show me where this is. Let me get there, and let me learn it. And that's encouraging to us. So Isaiah chapter 41 is where we'll be today. And last week, we read from Isaiah 46, and we read about his promises last week. Anybody think about those promises throughout the week? I know I did. And the promises we talked about were, he said, I am he. That one that you're looking for. I am he. And he says, I will carry you. I have made you. I will bear you. And then he went and said, I will carry you again. And at the end he said, I will deliver you. We have to believe that he will deliver us. We said, there's no equal to God. Remember, there was a bottle of water here, and we pretended that was our idol. I said, hey, help me out here. And he said, that idol can't do anything for you. That idol can't respond to you and can't do anything for you. And that idol certainly cannot deliver you. You will not find your answer in any idol you look at. And so we're going to study further today in Isaiah. And really, I was going to title this sermon called Crime and Punishment, but I don't know that I'll get to all that. So let's just keep this in mind as we go through and say, hey, I'm a Christian. We have our crimes that we commit, if you will, our sins. And then we have punishment. And I thought as I was driving down the road yesterday about when I came in town, oh, this was sometime back. And you guys were at the food bank, and I was working out of town. I came in town, and I was in a hurry to get there, and I'm 2 miles from the food bank, and the policeman pulled me over. Dang it. But he didn't give me what I deserve. Oh, he gave me punishment. I got a ticket, but I didn't get the full amount of the ticket that he could have justifiably given me. And so many times that happens. My wife and I were watching a movie the other night, and the guy in the movie got arrested, put in handcuffs, and he says, you can't do this to me. Let me out. And the cops let him go. And he was mad still, and he's hitting his car, and he's kicking it, and he's just screaming and yelling. I told my wife, I said, did he not understand? He was in handcuffs 30 seconds ago, and they took him off him and said, okay, you're free to go. And so we're going to look at part of that today. In Isaiah chapter 41, we'll start in verse 20. We're going to read an awful lot, but I think it's important. I think it's important to read the Bible, read the scripture, so that we can get full understanding of the context. And even what we're reading, we're leaving out an awful lot. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 1 says, keep silence before me, O coastlands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, let them speak. Let us come near together for judgment. A lot of times when God says, be quiet, he says, be quiet because I'm getting ready to hand down my judgment. Verse 2, it says, who raised up one from the east? Who in righteousness called him to his feet? Who gave the nations before him and made him rule over kings? Who gave them as the dust to his sword, as driven stubble to his bow? Who persuaded them and passed safely by the way that he had not gone with his feet? Who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last I am He. In those couple of verses right there, there's six questions of who. And the answer is, I am He. And a lot of times when we ask that question, who or why or what, it's the same answer. I am He. He says, I am the Lord, am the first, and with the last I am He. Why did this happen? For I am the Lord, I am He. How could you do this? I am the Lord, I am He. The answer is the same for our questions. And I don't know why we think that if we ask the question differently, well, I didn't ask a who, but I put a what, or a why, or a how. It's the same answer. I am He. Tells us in the beginning, like I said, keep silent. And that means, hey, He's getting ready to send down His judgment. But He said, do this so that they may renew their strength. Let the people renew their strength. Anyone need their strength renewed today? Five. Okay. Well, this is for you, five. The rest didn't have the strength to raise their hand, I guess. Just couldn't quite get it up there. I don't know. But it says, come renew your strength. And He asked that question. And then we go on in verse 5. It says, the coastland saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid. They drew near and came. Everybody helped his neighbor and said to his brother, be of good courage. So the craftsman encouraged the goldsmith. He who smooths with a hammer inspired him who strikes the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And then he fastened it with pegs that it might not totter. Now we're talking about the idols and creating the idols. Remember, we're creating the idol right here. Somebody better look into that nursery. That's all I'm saying. I'm sure everything's fine. I have confidence there. Lost my place with that one. I'm just kidding. Oh, here we are. Be of good courage, church. But you in verse 8, but you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen. Remember that also, that God has chosen us. The descendants of Abraham, my friend. He calls him my friend. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And he says, I have chosen you. Back in verse 9, I have chosen you. I have not cast you away. And he's talking about the remnant Israel. And he says, Israel, you have gone through this. You have been disobedient. And then I sent down my judgment on you. But in doing so, in disciplining you, I have not forgotten you. We've got to remember that. When God disciplines us and gives us our punishment, we are not forgiven. When we are in prison, we are not forgotten. When we are in shackles, He has not forgotten us. And He says, I'll do these things for you. God reminds him, although I've called you to punish you, I've not cast you away. In verse 10, what does he say he'll do? He says, fear not, I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you and I will uphold you. And I think we have to remember that. Guys, we're going through things. We're going through things in life, in relationships, in work, in school, whatever it is, in church. We're going through things. He says, I will strengthen you. I will uphold you. Oh, by the way, I'm going to help you. But usually when God says, I'm going to help you, He says, you've got to do your part, church. Oh, well, isn't just showing up doing my part? Not by a long shot. Showing up here doesn't do anything for Him. It shows a certain obedience factor. But if all we're doing is the attendance part, we're missing an awful lot. He says right here, when he called us friend, he says, I said to you, you are my servant in verse 9. If we're not serving him or others, we're missing the mark. But he says, I'll do these things for you. I'll uphold you. I'll help you. And I'll strengthen you. Verse 11, behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and will not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. Now listen to verse 13. He says, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Again, those that were in exile, he says, guys, I'm going to come alongside you. I'm going to hold your right hand. I'm going to be with you, and there's no need to fear. Fear not. I will help you. I think that's a promise that we all have to grab hold of sometimes when we're going through things. It may be health. It may be finances. It may be relationships. It may be a job situation. Fear not. I will help you. Now, I know that's easier said than done. And I told a story last week of the guy that I led to Christ. My twin brother tried, but he said, no, I need a priest or a pastor. And I informed him after the fact, no, you didn't need that. You just needed yourself, really, to do that. Matter of fact, there's someone in this congregation, I don't remember who, but someone that kind of led themselves to the Lord. And I'm thinking it's back in that area somewhere. Sometimes all we need is ourselves to take ourselves to the Lord. And we need to call on Him. And that guy, remember last week, my friend Charlie, and he said, is it really that easy? Yeah, Charlie, was that easy? Why did I wait so long? I don't know, but God was asking the same thing. But He's glad you responded. Fear not, I will help you. Verse 14, fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel, I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small and make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them, and wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. You shall rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. And I love that. He says, I'm going to give you new teeth, and you're going to go through these mountains that you're facing, and you're going to start tearing them down. But you're going to do it with my strength and my help and my guidance. I'm going to give you the teeth, the renewed sharp teeth, to get through that. On our own, our teeth are all rotten. They're worn down. But he says, man, I'm going to give you new sharp teeth, and you can knock those mountains down. I haven't even got to the good stuff yet. All right. And then going on in verse 17, he says, the needy and the poor shall seek water, but there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst. And I, the Lord, will hear them. Remember I said earlier, guys, when we're in the midst of things, He will hear us. When we're going through our trials and tribulations, He will hear us. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Guys, He's not going to leave us. Okay? And you may think that He's abandoned you and where you are, or because of who you are or what you've been through. I always got to look around now. I love our young people spread out now. Our young people, He's not going to leave you because you're young and you don't know anything. Because you know a lot. He's not going to leave you. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and dry land, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. We'll set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine and the box tree together. Now listen to verse 20. That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. That to me is just powerful. Verse 17 through 20. All those things, I will. I will put this here. I will plant this here. I will do this here. Why? Verse 20. That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. Now I want us to take just a minute as a body of believers. Body of believers. I want us to see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One has created. Take just a moment. Think in your own life. What has He done? What has He created? What has He given me? He's given me an understanding wife. As crazy as I get, she understands me. And she accepts me 21 years this last week. I know that's nothing compared to some of you. Man, we're just newlyweds in your eyes. But I think about those things and I think, oh my gosh. God has given me a wonderful son in Spencer. And my daughter Brittany. And my son Austin. And you just look around and you think, oh my gosh, I am blessed. But then it goes beyond that. The struggles with jobs that I went through, the struggles with my wife that I went through. But we have to see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this. He's put us together and given us a way through it. And He's planted these things. And He's given us things. And at times when He's closed the door and we're upset, He said, oh, be thankful I closed that door. You were fixing to go down a path you didn't want to go down. I assure you, you did not want to go down that path. Because you would not hang on to what you have. A friend of mine at work, him and I were talking the other day. And a very strong Christian man. And we're just talking about stuff and some specifics outside of this church and some that he was dealing with. And I said, you know, if you think about it, we're all kind of one slip away from going down the wrong path. And I don't mean that we can all necessarily be easily driven down one path or the other. But someone that he knows opened up a path. And who knows if he intended to go down it or just wanted to open the door and peek down it. What's down that hallway that says do not enter? Oh, it's no good. I'll close the door. Let me go a little further down the path. And we do that. And if it says, do not enter, church, don't go in it. Because we'll find ourselves at the end of that hallway going, oh my gosh, and there's no way out now. That's why they create those cages for the animals and they can't get out. They're not smart enough to get out, usually. We're the same way. We're those little animals. And we weren't smart enough to figure out, oh, when we went in that door, it closed behind us and we can't find a way out of it. And we've ruined our life. But these are the trials that the remnant Israel faced and they went through. And then it goes on to verse 21 through the end of the chapter there and talks about more things that they, it says, talks about the idols that they had and the futility of those idols is what my heading says. And it says in verse 29, it says, indeed, they are all worthless. Their works are nothing. Their molded images are wind and confusion. Remember last week we read about God and He said, who compares to me? Those idols can't compare because they can't answer to me and they can't answer you and they can't deliver you. All those things that I said I will do and I have done, those idols can't do it. But he says, they're worthless. Those idols that we create are worthless. I don't know why I like going backwards, but I wanted to read that first and then go back up a little bit. In verse 26, it says, who has declared from the beginning that we may know, and former times that we may say, he is righteous? Surely there is no one who shows. Surely there is no one who declares. Surely there is no one who hears your words. The first time I said to Zion, look, there they are. And I will give to Jerusalem one who brings good tidings. For I looked and there was no man. I looked among them, but there was no counselor who, when I asked of them, could answer a word. Then that's when he goes in to say, they're all worthless. Now, I'm not done with this message. I'm going to come back to it in just a bit. But we're going to shift before we close our service. Now, the Carter family is going to be moving on to Nebraska. I lived in Iowa. No need to clap for that. I've been to Iowa and Nebraska both. No, I'm just kidding. Where Buddy's taking on a new job. So we want to take an opportunity as a church body. We're going to pray over the Carter family. Buddy, can you see if Judith and the kids are available? And when we do that, you're welcome to come up here and do that. We're going to pray over them. I'm going to come back, finish just a brief little bit here as we close out in song. But I want to close out with that final scripture song after we have opportunity to pray for them and pray for their families as they move on. I know that when we move on, whether it's here or whether it's outside of the city or outside of the state, it's important that we want to give them a send-off that says, man, our blessings and our prayers go with you and your family as you start a new chapter in your life. They came here when Judith was pregnant. Now Clara's over a year old. I thought, man, go ahead and come on up if you would. Pastor Eric, would you come up front as well? And Buddy and Judith, what we want to do is just pray over your family. If you'll come right up here, we want to pray over your family. Hey, Clara. If you want to, you can reach your hands out. You can come up here and lay hands. We're just going to pray for them. We want to send you off and ask God to send peace with you and joy with you. So let's bow our heads and come on up here if you want to lay your hands on them and pray for them. Heavenly Father, we lift up the Carter family. Lord, you brought them into our midst with three of them. And then you brought Clara. Lord, we thank you and ask you to be with them and be with Caden, Lord. Be with Buddy and Judith as they start a new chapter in their life. God, we ask that as they go down the road that from prayer of faith, we can send them with peace and love and joy. Lord, we ask for this new path to be right for their family, to help grow their family. Wherever they go, they take your light and your love with them, that you bless them. Lord, we give thanks to you for the time we had with them, for the time they had with us, and pray that we were a blessing. We know that they've been a blessing to us. And Lord, finally, what I send them with, peace I leave with you, my friend. Lord, that they take our peace and your peace with them. Lord, protect them, keep them safe on their journey. Let them not be strangers to prayer of faith. Lift them up today. Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Amen. Carter family, we wish you the best. We thank you for your time here, prayer of faith. Peace we leave with you, our friends. And take a moment as the Carter family leaves today. Take just a moment, if you would, just to wish them good luck. Tell them goodbye. Give them your prayers and your thoughts for their time here. And I want to close with a scripture today. Let me get over here out of the way. And it's just further in Isaiah chapter 43. Give me just a moment to get there. And we'll let them continue praying as well. In Isaiah 42, and it says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for his law." And then in chapter 43, he says, "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." If you would stand to your feet, prayer faith. And he says, as we go out this week, he says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life." And it says in the beginning of verse 5, "Fear not, for I am with you." Go out this week and remember that God's promises says he will uphold you. He will help you. He will hear you. He will strengthen you. Let's praise and worship him today and be free with him.